Welcome to Fundraising Stories with Female Founders. I'm Julia Elliott Brown, the founder and CEO of Enter the Arena. I'm a serial entrepreneur and an expert in raising investment and business growth. Our mission at Enter the Arena is to empower female founders to fly through pre-raise and investment and onto the exponential growth of their business with investment expertise and business coaching. Here we share the stories of inspirational female founders who've raised investment to inspire you to do the same. You'll hear their honest accounts of what it was really like to secure funding, the highs, the lows, and the challenges they experienced on the journey. And along the way, we'll discuss top tips for how you can be successful too. Today I'm speaking with Farah Kabir, the co-founder of Hanks, one of the leading sexual wellness challenger brands in the UK. You've probably seen them in the press, on social media, or perhaps even through their adverts on the sides of a bus. Now, Farah and I are going to be talking about raising investment for what is effectively a condom brand, which isn't an easy challenge, especially when you're a woman. Farah is super passionate about smashing taboos around sex, pleasure, and intimate health, and challenging the bias against female founders in the fundraising landscape. Over the past 4 years, she's raised £1.8 million in equity funding to grow the business from angel investors, family offices, and micro funds. So let's meet Farah and learn more about her fundraising journey, the challenges she faced along the way, and how she overcame them. So great to see you, Farah. Are you well?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to see you again.
Good to see you. And You look like you're in a co-working space today, for those of you that are looking at this on the video. Where are you today?
Yeah, I look like I'm in a bunker, actually. There are no windows. It's about 30 degrees outside, so you might feel some beads of sweat. But I'm in the co-working space in a booth.
Such a startup life. And I imagine quite a different life from your previous life to building a startup. You were at Goldman Sachs, weren't you, in investment banking?
I was, yeah.
So what made you want to take the leap into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, condoms are definitely not the natural progression outside of investment banking. But ultimately, we spotted a gap in the market. So I was buying some condoms and I bumped into my boss who was in the queue. And I was really embarrassed. I had a bright red pack in my hand alongside my Boots meal deal and anything else that would cover up this pack. And lo and behold, my boss was behind me. And it got me thinking, you know, I'm not embarrassed to take control of any other aspect of my health, but when it comes to sexual health, the offering on the market is often garishly packaged, promoted amounts of conquest, and you're baffled by the choice, really. So Sarah, my co-founder, and myself, we decided to break through a very stale and male-dominated industry to create sexual wellness products truly designed with women in mind and gynecologically backed.
Yeah, that's amazing. So did you meet Sarah at work then? Is that how you two got together?
No, so Sarah and I are actually childhood friends. So we grew up together up north, we went to school together. We also went to university together, so we couldn't keep away from each other. And Sarah studied medicine, so went on to become a gynecology doctor, specialising in sexual health, and I went into finance and ended up at Goldman.
Wow, what a great combination then. So your experience as an investment banker, her expertise as a gynecological doctor, I mean, that's quite a powerful partnership you have there.
Yeah, very complementary skill sets, I would say, for this sort of role.
Yeah. And when you were sort of thinking about the business and planning it, were you still working or did you quit work immediately?
So it was an idea that happened whilst I was working. The reality is it was a passion project initially. We were just excited at the prospect of disrupting this industry. So a lot of our evenings and weekends were spent researching, you know, the market and understanding why no one had created such products for women. And so that was mainly even weekend work until it got to a point where actually, you know, we surveyed 2,000 women to find out what they wanted in a condom brand, why they weren't purchasing them. And if they were, what would they want to purchase? And the outcome was Hanks. And that was kind of our user case to see whether there was a market. And it sort of ensured that we didn't spend our life savings on condoms. I know that there was a market.
Yeah. And so did you then put your life savings into it once you'd
done? Much to my parents' dismay, we put our life savings into Johnny's, but it was all truly worth it. I think, you know, we thought of this idea, we were speaking to as many people that would listen to us, from people in the industry to potential investors and also consumers. I think people got pretty sick of me and Sarah speaking about this idea that we had at the time, but it was well worth it just to get different perspectives.
Did you find, you know, given your background in investment banking, that that was really helpful when it came to thinking about how you might fund the business?
Yeah, so when I was at Goldman Sachs, I worked in technology finance and then asset management. So a lot of client relationship building, which I think comes in very handy when you're trying to raise investment, but not necessarily a Rolodex of investment contact. So it felt like a very new landscape. I'm also a chartered accountant, which probably helped in building the business when it comes to knowing your P&L and your cash flow. But in terms of actually raising it, it felt like a brand new role altogether. And required a lot of networking, going to lots of events. I believe we also met at an entrepreneurial event maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It was the Peter Jobe Academy. So yeah, a long time ago. It helps definitely having the name, but a lot of it was from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Because even when you come from a background in finance, it doesn't give you all the skills you need to raise investment. As you said, I mean, networking, communication.
Yeah.
Super important.
You're learning on the job a lot as well. And I think that is the reality of being an entrepreneur. You hustle, you have to learn everything on the job. And it obviously helps, you know, working in a finance role definitely helped shape Hanks in terms of fundraising, knowing the numbers. But that's just a small part of the business that we run. It's about proving that we're the right founders to build this business beyond just the capital. And that's why I like having Sarah, who is a gynecology doctor who knows women's health. She's delivered babies and treated patients with STIs. So having Sarah to help on the product side is incredible. So it's a bit like Coca-Cola. They have parts of the ingredients separate. So Sarah and I definitely need each other to make this work.
Yeah. And I imagine that was very appealing to investors. So let's go back to your first fundraise. Tell me about that. What was it like?
I really didn't know what I was doing, being completely honest. It was very new to me. I think watching Dragon's Den definitely doesn't help you when you're going out to fundraise, because it's a very different approach. And actually those who have invested in our first, or did invest first time, were actually people that we met organically, either through friends or who just wanted to meet for a coffee. And actually the investors that did end up investing asked the least questions. We found that the ones who were interested in investing but asked lots and lots of questions were often the ones that had seen an episode of Dragon's Den but didn't actually put forward cash. So we had a small group of angel investors, a few founders as well in that pool, or ex-founders that really helped propel us. But ultimately, it was a small amount. I think it was 250,000 SEIS and EIS, which was, what a lot of investors want as well. But it took a long time, longer than I thought. You know, people say, oh, you set yourself a time frame and you raise the money, but actually, it's an ongoing process and it continues to roll. And it's good to have deadlines, but the reality is these things can take longer.
Yeah. But it's not a sport. I mean, it's not to be sniffed at, £250,000. Yeah. And I'm interested to explore the fact that you had other founders who'd been successful backing your business. And I think that's really important, especially because they know what you're going through. They understand the risks and hopefully they have some skills and expertise to offer you. So can you tell us more about that? How did you find them? What were you looking for in those first investors?
Yeah, so I think what's really important about investors who are founders is that they've done it before. They understand the sleepless nights. They're happy to take a phone call when you're in an emergency and need help and advice. So we're really lucky to have had that. We did have a combination of investors. We also had, family offices and those who were just everyday investors, but particularly with founder investors, they definitely helped shape the business. In terms of finding them, it was really, again, networking was a key part of this. For anyone that sort of says, oh, events are a waste of time, I would disagree. I know it's time consuming, but you don't know who you might meet, and they might know someone. So events definitely helped in finding the right investors, but equally, research. Like I actually DM'd someone on Instagram cheekily and asked them if they'll invest, and they're a well-known investor in the fashion industry, and had a meeting and they invested. So I think it's definitely a numbers game. You need to broaden your horizon, think outside the box of how to attract such investors.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's the thing. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I mean, you know.
Exactly. What have you got to lose? Yeah.
exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It doesn't have to be over email. It can be Instagram. It can be at an event.
Yeah.
It can be there.
Absolutely.
Networking, don't you? That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, the fact that you've got, you know, the two of you as a team, that's really compelling. And also, you have a very distinctive and a compelling brand. It really stands out in the market. Was that something that really attracted investors too?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sale category. And even now, like, there are lots more players, which is great, but it's still a very sale category. Like, if you go to any of these shops, so for us, omnichannel presence was really important. And that lent itself really well to investors because they can relate to a physical product. But, you know, we've had people reach out to us and say, I've seen your product on shelf and I love it. Like, can we have a chat? So I think the fact that our product stands out and that it is aesthetically pleasing and the brand of tone and voice is so different to what's on the market definitely helps. I do think the challenge with investors generally, though, is they're all looking for the next Facebook or the next unicorn. And whilst we are a tech-enabled brand, we're not a SaaS platform. We are a consumer business that is heavily focused in branding and getting the product, you know, best in class that is truly suitable for women. So it's often hard to find the right investors that understand that. And that's why founders who invest as often help with that, because they get it if they've built a consumer business and they understand what influencer marketing is and how you cut through in retail.
I mean, this is a constant challenge for female founders, I think, because there are so many of us who do build consumer brands, yeah, product based businesses. And your strategy to go to angels and go to founders who understand that space is great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you've done a number of different rounds since that first round. Did you think about speaking to VCs, or do you speak to VCs, and how do those conversations go?
Yeah. I never realized that raising would be such a full-time job. I thought when I left finance, that would be it, but I do finance full-time. And so I'm responsible for investment raising and for retail sales. So you're constantly raising. It is constantly on, especially when you're raising angel rounds. The benefit of angel rounds is you can get access to some incredible ex-entrepreneurs and founders and people that really, truly understand it. The downside of that is that they're smaller raises than if you were to go to a VC. We absolutely spoke to VCs, even like pre-product, when it was just an idea. And we still do. We continue to engage with VCs, keep them updated. But the reality is, the way that our business has now shaped and the success we've had, we actually benefit from having, you know, micro funds, family offices versus VCs. And I just want to, you know, admit that it was actually incredibly hard to even get in front of VCs. I genuinely think that Hanks was a little early to the market. When we went to VCs, a lot of their LPs were old, archaic money that would not invest in things like tobacco or adult health. And so condoms are like, bold, no, you know, our LPs didn't back it. And then I think, 2019, we had like a flurry of VCs reach out to us. I assume they'd all gone to the same bloody event and the theme was sex tech, and it all of a sudden became really sexy. But by that point, we weren't pre-product. We were fully in market. You know, we'd self-funded ourselves to get the product to market and then took a bit of angel investment. And it's a very different landscape. And I think I was always like, why didn't we get VC money? You know, why do we get a massive ticket? But on reflection, in the current market landscape, I'm so glad we went through those hard, grueling days, because actually, I truly believe as a brand, we really are good at capital preservation. The fact that we've only raised that amount and have built a successful business in over 2,000 retail doors and online, you know, recurring subscriptions and a pharmacy model all through COVID and survived, means that we know how to sweat and work for that pound more than many other brands that may have had VC funding pre-product. And yeah, so there's a lesson to be, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer in that. So I don't regret not having VC money. I think angels have worked quite well.
Yeah, I mean, it puts some serious pressure on you as a business once you've got that VC funding, because
yeah,
they are not as patient as angel investors. So they want that scale rapidly.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get it, they can drop you like a hot stone. And yeah. So for a business, I think especially in the consumer space, where you need a bit of time, don't you? You need time to build your brand.
You do. And actually, every time we've spoken to certain VCs, you know, throughout, I still, you know, we don't pitch them, but we're actively engaged and we keep them posted. But there's a different lens. So like, 1 year it's, you're too early. The next year it's, let me see how sales go in Boots. The following year it's, give me, I want D2C, I want sticky subscription. You know, we're worried about retail. And that was the last one. And then I've spoken to a few, and it's like, oh, we're now moving away from physical products and D2C. We want omnichannel. And you can't win and you can't wait around for that. Like, and we're very lucky with the brand that's been so present in retail and online on social media that has helped us organically get investors that come to us and want to hear more about the brand. So I think it's worked well. It's down to the branding for sure.
I love what you've just said about the kind of the changing parameters that VCs have. You can't keep on doing it. It's possible. And then they say to you, oh no, it's a saturated market now, we're not interested. And one should never build a business just to meet what it is that investors are looking for. That is a very dangerous game to play. So
absolutely, I think there's something to be said about, you know, maximizing shareholder value, but if you don't have the magic and the essence, which are the founders that truly build the brand, then you're just building a money machine with no, you know, authenticity. And how successful would that be? I'm not sure.
Let's talk a bit about kind of how male dominated the world of investment is, and you know obviously we all, you know, we know the stats, kind of around 5% of venture partners are women, yeah, you know, and 14% of angel investors are women. It can be really tough. For you, what challenges did you find specifically around that, raising money as a female entrepreneur, raising money for a product that you have, you know, condoms, going out and talking to male investors? What was that like?
Yeah, so there are a lot more male investors out there, and the ones that have invested in us either have a daughter or a good, you know, a sister, or understand the issues around being a woman in today's society, and that there's still a lot that needs to be done to, you know, move the needle. The reality is, you know, we've faced so much pushback from various investors, old school investors. Particularly, you know, oh, you're two little girls, what do you know? Even with the fact that Sarah is a gynecology doctor and I've worked at one of the most prestigious financial institutions in the world, you're still two little girls, you know, what do you know? You know, some guys actually have said, well, it's a man's job, so what's the matter? Like, it's a man's job to carry condoms, so, you know, I don't believe there's a market in this. We get those kind of comments less now, but definitely in the first few years we've had some horrific experiences. You know, I was sat in an angel consortium, and so, you know, retired people with a lot of money, and pitched Hanks, and there were probably three women there and about, I don't know, 30 men. One man had the audacity to ask if I could demonstrate how to put on a condom.
Oh my God.
And so you really do still get it, and it does exist, but I do think times have changed. What I really love is that we're seeing more and more female investors. So, you know, Alma Angels is one of them, where they bring together women who want to invest in smaller tickets and build as a syndicate. So, you know, times have changed, but we faced, you know, some pretty awful experiences along the way.
Yeah, the old school will eventually, you know, be kicked out, but it takes a while, doesn't it? It takes a while.
Yeah.
More women investing, you know. Yeah. And do you find, I mean, you know, have you had any additional challenges for coming from a Bangladeshi Muslim background? Has that been a factor in any of this, do you think, or is that hard to say?
Look, it's definitely not the cultural norm to be, found in a condom company, especially, you know, cultural and religious standpoint, but ultimately we're addressing women's health needs, which affect every single woman, regardless of what culture or religion you follow. I think there's definitely still some stigma. I think my poor mum probably has to deal a lot with the community asking what I get up to. But I think what we're doing is absolutely needed in this world and today. And actually I was at a wedding at a weekend and a woman came up to me who grew up as a Muslim and she said, "You are a trailblazer." She was like, "You've opened up conversations that I'm able to even discuss with my mum that I never thought I could ever do." You get girls whose parents sign them out of sex education because it's not, you know, they think it's against their religion. So if I can change at least one woman's life who may come from such backgrounds, then I've done my job. But I think that's one angle, the cultural and the family aspect. But I think the other part is being a female founder and a woman of colour. Like, of course, you face these challenges every day. I think, let alone being a woman of colour, being a female founder is incredibly challenging to get investment. If there's a stat from the British Bank a few years ago that for every £1 of investment, less than a penny actually goes to female founders. And I hope that has changed. And I see so many great things across LinkedIn about people wanting to support women of colour and female founders, but I don't see much action. Like, I don't really need to see another report of what you found against female founders. What I need to see is money going into female founders and you putting your money where your mouth is. You know, today I just spoke with a female founder as well, who I won't name, but same thing, she went for female founded funds and in the end, they went for another company that did something very similar that was led by two men. Like, it exists, but people actually need to do something about it now.
Wow, that's shocking. I mean, there aren't enough of these funds that are focusing on women.
No.
There really aren't. And there's sort of the investors are, especially in challenging times that we're in now, once again, their money's going into the later stage deals where there is less risk. The pulling back from early stage deals, which is where all the female founders are coming.
Mm.
The money doesn't come in at the bottom of the funnel. We're not going to get women building amazing businesses.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at it, especially in a sector like yours, it is crazy. All these consumer products, which are built by and run by men for women, what the hell, you know?
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, we see it a lot, and it's like the only thing that's going to change that is if there are more female investors or more women in decision-making roles in VC or in funding. And you see there are some incredible female funds out there, like Pink Salt Ventures, who have invested in us, and other funds that are trying to raise funds to invest in women, but you just don't see it enough. Like, you hear a lot of noise, but you don't actually see people writing the tickets and putting them in. And that really needs to change, because otherwise we're going to have a world that is led by men and products that are for women, but built by men. And it's not true and authentic.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. I was really interested to hear that earlier this year, you were invited to take part in a 10 Downing Street roundtable on disparities in women's healthcare in ethnic minorities. Tell us more about that. Is that a role that you embrace?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really honoured. And actually, I have to tell you, it was through a female-founded fund through called Goddess Gaia Ventures. So they had put together a roundtable of women who are in health tech to discuss the disparities, particularly with ethnic minorities. It was a great session. There were definitely no silences. There were women at the table who had stuff to say, and rightly so. And I hope off the back of it that there are some actions that can be driven to really help support women, especially in light of COVID and everything that's gone on. women's health is often put to the back and to the bottom. So yeah, it was a really positive experience. I definitely left some of our products in the bathroom. So I turned down in the street, may see some Hanks somewhere.
That's based on all the parties and shenanigans that go on at Downing Street. It's probably much needed, Farah.
Yeah. Timed quite well.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness. That's exciting, and I hope that will make a real difference.
I hope so.
I mean, so it's what, you know, just sort of bringing our interview to a close, what would be the top advice that you would give to other female entrepreneurs who are now at that point where they're getting ready to raise investment?
Yeah, I would say speak to as many people as possible. Be patient. You know, I was very naive when I started Hanks with Sarah and thought that, you know, we could do things very quickly. And actually the reality is things take a lot longer. So give yourself a really long lead time. Obviously give yourself an internal, you know, deadline that you can defend, but the reality is it will take longer. And even if you do get all the money, you've got to do all the paperwork and the legals behind it. But speaking to as many people as possible, you have to have thick skin. You're going to get a lot of no's, but turn those no's into, okay, do you know anyone that could be interested in this? And ask for another introduction if you feel comfortable. And don't be afraid to reach out to people cold. The worst that can happen is that they ignore you or they say no, but definitely reach out to people. The thing you've got to remember with, this probably applies more to VCs than angels, I don't know, but they'll get hundreds of these pitches. So you do have to stand out. So think of alternative quirky ways to reach out and connect to these people, whether it's an Instagram DM or sending them their favorite chocolates because you've seen them rant about it on Twitter. Like really let them know that you're not just approaching them for cash. Like you want to build a relationship with them and help, you know, bring your vision to life.
I think that's one of the advantages when you've got a product-based business is that you can get them to experience it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if somebody sent me a load of condoms in the post, I'd be definitely interested to find out more about that, what that was about.
Well, it's a talking point as well. And we're really lucky we have these one-pack condoms that are so, I don't have one on me because I'm in this booth, but they look like business cards. They're just really chic and clean packaging. And I actually use them to put my email address on when I meet potential investors because then they get to see the product and they also have my details. So yeah, it is great.
I love that. Yeah, getting creative to stand out. So what's next for Hanks then? Where's the brand going? And are you going to need to do some more fundraising to get there?
Absolutely. Sadly, the raise is always, it's a full-time job. So we are currently raising. We're looking for more add value strategic angels and family offices. And for us, I think we spent the last 3 or 4 years really building an authoritative brand that speaks to women in a way that's real and relatable. And that lends itself really well to us building and developing other products that really serve the milestones of women's health. So ultimately for Hanks, we will be the go-to intimate wellness brand all the way from your first time having sex to your first child, menopause and beyond. So I'm really excited about the products that we'll be launching in the coming 12 months. And additionally to that, we are launching the US in September. So that's a really exciting space for us. And hopefully we can close the funding round in the meantime to continue that.
How exciting. And it will be interesting to see from a fundraising perspective what that leads to, because the world of investment in the US is quite different from here. A lot more risk taking, a lot more money.
Yeah.
Got a kind of foot, you know, to get a foothold in there means you've got access also to a whole new world of investment.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the best, Farah. Thank you so much for sharing some of your insights. Super helpful, and enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for following Fundraising Stories with Female Founders. This content is all provided to you for free. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe so you never miss another one. Enter the Arena has helped hundreds of female founders fly through pre-raise and investment and onto the exponential growth of their business. Our first-hand experience, expert guidance, and proven programs help female founders unleash the Wonder Woman inside. To see if we can help you do the same, head over to www.enterthearena.co.uk. I'm Julia Elliott-Brown, and I look forward to talking with you soon.